help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we all continue our morning's worship service with the singing of Psalter 245, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place through all the ages of our race, before the mountains had their birth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth. From everlasting thou art God to everlasting our abode. Psalter 245, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. scripture reading for this morning, you can find in the book of Genesis, the chapters 3 and 4, starting at verse 9 in chapter 3 and reading through to verse 8 in chapter 4. He mentioned to you Genesis 3, starting at verse 9 and ending in chapter 4 at verse 8. But before we all read the holy law of God, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of living or living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Thus far.
Congregation, we wish to especially remember in prayer this morning Abby Klein. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast made all things and upholds all things, and in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we cannot take one breath. And Lord, we read in thy word that there is a time to be born and a time to die. And now in the congregation thou hast given in this past week a family that was gladdened with the healthy birth of a baby. Lord, thou hast given life. Give thankfulness that thou hast spared life and given life. And remember the parents. Give them the tender fear of the Lord to raise their children as we all need as parents. And may this child who was brought into the world be born again and prepared to leave this world. And Lord, then also in this past week, thou hast spoken a young girl, 12 years old, who was in school on Friday, and on Saturday she lay in the hospital, humanly speaking, as the doctors say, on her deathbed. Lord, we beg thee, remember her. Thou art that almighty God. Thou hast that power to save, to give life. We beg thee for her body, for her soul. Look upon her in mercy. Thou art the Almighty God. Nothing is impossible with thee, and thou art able to do above all that we think and ask. May we beg thee for her soul, for her family. Remember her parents, her siblings, the whole family, but also the grade 7 class, the teachers, the students. We beg thee, sanctify this calling, Lord, because we know the old must die, but the young also can die. Wilt thou then remember in thy mercy and give that we may have that compassion for one another, that we may pray for one another, and that we may storm thy throne of grace, and that we may say truly, thy will be done. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would not only speak through thy word, but also through the acts of thy providence, sanctify it to our hearts. Lord, we may hear it. We may be a little moved, may be pricked, but wilt thou break our hard hearts and sanctify thy word, these callings unto us. May it become an urgent matter. I am sin, and I need to stand before a holy and just God who will by no means clear the guilty, and I am guilty. O Lord, we beg thee, take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh, and teach of that only way to stand before thee is through thy Son, that sacrifice that thou hast given. Lord, it's in thy mercy that we may be in thy house in this morning. It's thy long suffering, patience, and goodness unto us, because we are no better. Thou hast extended our life. Thou hast given again that we may come to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And thou hast given us this day a day to worship thee. And Lord, we confess by nature we're only self-worshippers. We do not have any desire to worship thee. Oh, we beg thee then, renew hearts. May sinners be born again and begin to truly worship thee. Thou art worthy. Lord, thou knowest how we have all come up this morning to thy house. Thou knowest also thy people, where they are like thy servant John, who was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give faith, and give that it may be living faith, that faith may be given to be an exercise, that there may be that true confession of sin bowing before thee, but also may there be that expectation, that waiting, that longing, that looking unto thee. O Lord, we beg thee then, have mercy upon us, each one of us, soul lost, all lost, and thou art that only one in whom our help is. Unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou alone can give life to dead sinners. Thou alone can draw unto thyself, to reveal thyself and who thou art through thy dear Son, that only way of him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, rend the heavens and come among us today. May it be a day that the angels may rejoice in heaven, that sinners are brought to repentance. Oh, accompany thy word with the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, and that sinners may be convicted and convinced of their sin and brought to repentance and begin to truly pray unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But oh, we beg and pray thee, remember those whom thou hast given new life, poor, wretched, needy, guilty sinners. Oh, wilt thou lead them to that only place, that place of worship that is acceptable in thy sight, and that is through thy Son. Thou hast said that those that findeth thee will find favor with God. Oh, wilt thou come then through thy word and by the Spirit and reveal thyself unto us who thou art through thy Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there would not only be sorrow and conviction because of our sin, but may there be that hope, that expectation, that comfort that only comes in thee and through thee, a triune God? Wilt thou then take away all the distractions in listening and in preaching? Cast out that evil one, Lord, and give us a quiet hour in thy house. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, and give also ears to hear, minds to understand, hearts to receive, and bless it, Lord, that thy kingdom may come, that boys and girls may be born again, teenagers born again, adults, older ones. O Lord, wilt thou then translate sinners from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son, and teach them and instruct them and guide them and care for them on that narrow way that leadeth unto thee, on that narrow way where they will be stripped of everything of self to be clothed, to find life in another. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us. Thou could righteously pass us by because of all our sins, all our iniquities. Oh, have mercy then upon us. Remember then all the sick and afflicted. Care for them, those with needs for the body and for the mind. Remember all the mourning ones. Care for them, the widows, those who have lost children, other relatives. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, teach us. That thou art speaking, prepare to meet thy God. And Lord, wilt thou prepare us by thy grace? Use thy law to convict us of sin, to teach us of who we are, and to strip us. That it may be that schoolmaster to lead us unto thy dear Son, that only Savior, that Savior who came to seek and to save lost sinners. He who came to fulfill the law for transgressors. He who came to make that payment that no sinner can make. O Lord, wilt thou give them today in thy house, through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be food for poor and needy beggars. O may there be some crumbs from the Master's table, that there may be comfort. Lord, there's no comfort in ourselves, and nothing in this world. Thou alone can give us that true comfort in life and in death. Lord, we ask that thou would remember also that member which is under censor. Oh, we beg thee that thou would bring that member to true repentance. Oh, that we may have joy that a sinner is brought to repentance. Oh, work mightily, irresistibly. Break that hard heart of stone and give true confession of sin, and that there may be that seeking of that way of forgiveness that only can be found in thee. Lord, as a congregation, may we not question who it is, but that we may lay the member before thee in prayer. Prayer for that soul that would be brought to repentance. Have mercy, Lord. Do what no man can do. Break hard, stubborn hearts. And Lord, we all need repentance. True repentance, because thou hast said in thy word, except ye repent, ye shall perish. And Lord, repentance is a gift of thee. It's by thy grace that sinners will come to true repentance. Oh, bring then today sinners to repentance. And faith is also a gift of thee. We can only bring forth unbelief. Oh, we beg thee then plant that faith. Give that faith to believe who we are, to believe who thou art, and of that only way of salvation through thy dear Son. Lord, we pray and ask thee to remember all thy servants throughout the world. Help each one. We're sons of men. We need thy grace. We need thy Spirit. We need the unction of the Holy Spirit, that thy word would be opened, but also to preach thy word and bless it, Lord. Remember those who are sick and afflicted. Bless the means that they may use, and that they may be spared to be used yet in thy kingdom. Remember those who are getting older, also among thy servants. Help them. Help the students also, Lord. And we thank thee that thou hast given also in thy mercy and in thy goodness to students. Help them, Lord. teach them, instruct them, and remember the instructors, help them also. Lord, we beg and ask thee that thou would bless thy word throughout the world among Jew and Gentile. Bless all mission work locally in this nation and throughout the world, that thy word may be proclaimed death in Adam and life in Christ, and that through the means of thy precious word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thy sheep throughout the world may be gathered, that sinners would be born again, and that only name, that precious name, the name of thy dear Son, may be exalted to the highest, and that sinners may come to know him and believe in him and worship him. Lord, thou art worthy. Do it for thy name's sake and for our and for sinners' eternal comfort. Lord, we lay before thee also the need in Peru. That knowest that group there, that desire to be led, to be guided, that a man would come and help them, to teach them the truth, the reformed truth of thy precious word. And Lord, the call has gone out in our denomination. And Lord, we beg thee that thou would climb the heart of a man taught by thee with thy grace, that he may become willing in the day of thy power also with joy to come forward and to be used as an unworthy, insignificant instrument also for this work in thy kingdom. Lord, bless then thy word in Bolivia. Remember the Bolivians. Lord, may many of them be born again under the preaching of thy precious word and come to know, to worship thee and thy Son. Help the church workers and their families, and remember the elders, the deacons, thy servants, and especially, Lord, remember thy servant, Pastor Markham. Help him, guide him, lead him day by day, but especially on thy day. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. May we beg thee then, give us a good hour in thy house. Help to preach, help to listen, and that thy name may be honored and glorified, and that we may be brought into dust where we belong as beggars, and that poor and needy beggars may be comforted by thyself, by thy word, by the Spirit, through that sacrifice of thy dear Son. Wash and cleanse us of all our many sins, we pray and ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 222, the first five stanzas. Now to God our strength and Savior, render praise and loudly sing, in our Father's God rejoicing, all your noblest music bring. Psalter 222, the first five stanzas. In the meantime, your offerings will be received. The collections for this morning is for the church, and the second for the student support fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. children, teenagers, adults, when you hear the name Cain, what sin do you think of? I think we automatically think of murder. And yes, he murdered his own brother Abel. But there's another sin before that sin. What is that sin? What do we read in the first verses of Genesis 4? Cain was only a formal worshiper. He didn't worship God in spirit and in truth. He was guilty of formal outward worship because God wants the heart. Every Lord's Day, in God's mercy and goodness, we may enter in this house again today to have two worship services. The purpose is first and foremost to worship God. God created you and me to worship. Worship exists because God exists. That's why there's worship, because it's all about God, God's glory. He created you and me to worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is worthy to be worshipped. How did you come this morning? Children? Teenagers? Adults? How did we enter God's house? Did we have a longing to come to worship him? Does it matter? Does it really matter? Isn't it sufficient that we come to God's house, that we obey his commandment, and we come to his house twice on Sunday for worship? Does it matter? Yes, it does. Because God sees our hearts. He has created us to worship him. Listen to two statements that the Lord Jesus Christ has made. First, John 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So in spirit and in truth. And now listen what he says, what we read in Matthew 15, verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Since the fall, since rebellion, this whole world is divided into two groups. Two types of people. Two types of worshipers. Those who begin by God's grace to worship God and Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And those who are yet only self-worshippers. Self-worshippers. There's two seeds on this earth. Two groups. And they're at enmity. And they hate each other. And they will even kill each other. As a self-worshipper, Cain killed a true worshipper, Abel. And that's the world we live in. Cain was a self-worshipper, a formal worshipper, and nothing more. And he killed his brother, a true worshipper of God and of Jesus Christ. Why did Cain kill Abel? We have the answer in God's own word. In 1 John 3, verse 12, we read, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. His worship was not true. His worship was not righteous. And he saw it. He saw it. It was not acceptable in God's sight. And his anger, his wrath, he hardened his heart and he killed Abel, whose works were righteous. In the world, there's two types of worshiper. But this morning, congregation, among all of us here, there's two types of worshiper. You are either a Cain or you are an Abel by God's grace. How do you worship? How do you worship God? Do you worship? Have you come to worship God in spirit and in truth? And what is true worship? What is the only way to worship God? That's in spirit and in truth. And God seeks. And God renews sinners to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the others, They're formal worshipers. We could say Cain and Abel. They were in a worship service together. They were in church together, we could say. But what a difference. But we are also here today and this morning in church. How is it with your soul? Have you become a true worshiper by God's grace? We read in Isaiah 29 verse 13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." So in Genesis 4, there's a worship service, we could say. Two sacrifices, two sons, two responses, but also among us. How do you worship? Do you worship? How do you worship? Do you worship according to God's way or according to your way? And so with the help of the Lord, we will consider this morning what we read in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and the first part of verse 5. Genesis 4, 3, 4, and the first part of verse 5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So far from God's word. The theme is fallen sinners worshiping God. Fallen sinners worshiping God. That's who Abel and Cain is, and that's who we are. Fallen sinners. So first thought is two sons. Two sons worshiping. Second is two sacrifices. They both sacrificed. And then the last, two responses. First, the response of Abel and Cain, and then especially the response of God to their sacrifices, to their worship. So the theme, fallen sinners worshiping God. Two sons, two sacrifices, two responses. And so with the help of the Lord, our first thought, two sons. When we come to Genesis 4, what a radical change has taken place in the history of the world. There has never, ever been such a radical difference from Genesis 1, 2, and the beginning of 3, till chapter 4, what happened in chapter 3. God created man, the crown jewel of creation, and he created him in righteousness, knowledge, and holiness. God formed man, as we read in Genesis. He formed us. And so you can picture with his hands forming dust. He paid so much attention to man. He created him in his image. And we don't read of so much deep attention and detail and care for any other creature as God has created you and me. And God looked upon man. He looked upon all his creation, and it was very good, no sin. And he looked upon man, and he saw that he was lonely, and he said, it's not good. He created him a helpmeet, a friend, a true friend, Eve. And he placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, in a special place where there was plenty of trees to eat. But do not eat of one tree. He made a covenant. God made a covenant with Adam, that you do not eat of that one tree, because the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And Adam and Eve in paradise lived in fellowship with God. They lived joyfully, delighting, worshiping God every moment of their whole life. That was their life, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. But they ate. They rebelled against the highest majesty in heaven. They rebelled against God. And what a unspeakable radical change. They died. A triple death. The wages of sin is death. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They died spiritually. Spiritually dead. Completely, totally depraved, corrupt. They were worthy of physical death. And they were worthy of eternal death, forever under the wrath of God. They sinned. And God then declared the punishment. He spoke to the woman. He spoke to the man. And he first spoke to the serpent. He declared the consequences of sin. But before he even did that, we also, before he banished them out of paradise, those sinners who were only worthy of death, he proclaimed life. He proclaimed life through a coming Messiah. Genesis 3 verse 15. What goodness. So now, spiritually worshiping, beautiful, excellent creatures that God could look upon are nothing but spiritually dead, separated, banished from paradise, and yet called, commanded to worship God, as we read in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And listen, and you can put your name here. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So summary, to worship God with your whole being. Genesis 3 in paradise, delightfully, joyfully worshiping God. Genesis 4, outside of paradise, cut off, separated from God, plunged into deep misery. And Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Meaning, God has made you and I perfect, but we have destroyed ourselves. And God has the right to demand what he has made you and I for. To worship him, to joyfully worship him, with heart, with soul, with our whole being. He made us for this one purpose, and sin is missing this purpose of living for the glory, for the honor of God, and we are worthy of eternal death, eternal wrath, because we miss that purpose. Sin is not worshiping God with our whole being, with everything, with all our mind, with all our strength, and with all our love, and to do it joyfully. So we're sinners. We're all sinners here this morning in the presence of God, because who of us have become true worshipers? And those who have become true worshipers, who of us can say we truly worship God in perfection? And Adam and Eve in Genesis 4 were banned from paradise, banned from the presence of God, and yet God, still in his goodness and mercy, gave them a flower in their life. What do I mean? They're still married. Yes, marriage is a flower from paradise. They could still live together. They could live together in a relationship. And I'm sure they felt the consequence, because Adam wasn't a perfect husband. He was a sinful husband. And Eve wasn't a perfect wife. She's a sinful wife. And then we read in Genesis 4, verse 1 and 2, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So a few points on this verse. Notice. What do we notice, children? Teenagers, what do we notice about marriage? Is this God's word? One man, one woman, together in marriage, nothing else. That's the truth. That's God's institute of holy marriage. But what else do we know? We read Adam knew who? Not his girlfriend, no. Not some other woman that he saw one day. No, he knew his wife. He had intimacy with his wife. And that's the only place for that flower from paradise to be enjoyed. Yes, enjoyed. Nothing else. All is sin. We worship God, congregation, in everything we do. In spirit and in truth. Also in living in according to God's word. And they, in that relationship, received two sons, Cain and Abel. And now think about it. This is the first conception in that relationship. And this is the first time the two babies are born upon the earth. Adam and Eve never saw a baby before Cain was born and before Abel was born. And they received gifts from God. And children, you know the names of these two sons, right? Cain and Abel. And in the Bible, people use names to express things, to express hope, to express feeling. And now there's many opinions of what Cain means and what Abel means and what Adam and Eve, why they called their two sons Cain and Abel. I'll try to summarize it. Well, we knew what Eve said in the Word of God. I have gotten a man from the Lord. She acknowledges that she has received a gift from God. They received a baby from God. She receives fruit. Fruit from the relationship with her husband. And she's thankful unto God. Children are a gift from God, and we are to thank Him. But there's more. Why did she call his name Cain? I have gotten a man from the Lord. It could very well be that she saw a man born. And she echoes in her mind the promise of Genesis 3 verse 15 that the seed of the woman would come and be a savior. And we may believe, possibly, that Adam and Eve held this man-child. Believing in the promise of God, now comes the Savior. They would soon learn. What a disappointment. And yet, that may also be included by faith upon the promise of the Word of God. And then Abel was also born. Calvin says they were twins. We don't know. That's okay. We let that go. But Abel, that means shortness, vanity. They learn. Through these two names, they are expressing something, congregation. They are expressing, we live in a life that's short. It's short. It's vanity. It just passes away. But are we living with that hope in the Messiah? We live short. We heard it yesterday. A 12-year-old girl, and some of you are in her class, she's laying, humanly speaking, on her deathbed. No, it's not the oldest member in the congregation. It's a young girl that speaks. Any time, life is short. We need to be prepared. Listen, take heed. Make haste for your life's sake. Two sons are born. So we know their names, Cain and Abel. What else do we know about these two sons, these two boys? They had different occupations. They were faithful to the command of God, obeying to work 6 days of the week. And children, what was the occupation? What did Cain do? We would say today he was a farmer, maybe a vegetable farmer. He tilled the ground. And Abel, he was a keeper of sheep. We could say today he was a farmer. Both faithful. Faithful to the command to work in the sweat of your faith. What else do we know about these two boys? These two sons that were given to Adam and Eve. We know from the Word of God shedding light that who are they? What's their heart? They're fallen sinners. Fallen sinners born in a fallen world under misery. Under all the consequences of sin. They're born separated from God. That's how you were born. You were born also as these two sons, totally depraved. What does that mean? What does it tell us? That by nature, these two boys, and you and I by nature, are not worshipers of God in spirit and in truth. By nature, we only worship self, the world, sin, Satan, and that's our guilt and that's our sin. And is that still you? It's about worship. Who are you? Are you still worshiping yourself, the world, and sin? Are you trying to fill your heart? Are you like Cain, as we will hear more descriptive in the following? Or are you like Abel? And now these two sons are born living on this earth, fallen creatures, totally depraved, and yet living with a command, obey me, serve me, worship me. And what do they need? They need that act of God's free and sovereign grace to renew them. They need to be made alive to become true worshipers. And now in this history, these two boys, will the Lord save one? Will he work in both of them? Will he work in neither? Will he work in them? How do we know? How do we know that God, if he has, and he has, but how do we know? How do we know of these two sons, whether they have become true worshipers? How do you know if you and I have become a true worshiper in spirit and in truth? How do we know from these two boys? How do we know they received grace if they have? Well, we will see it. Wow. By their fruits. By how they live. We may know it by your fruits, by how we live. And especially this morning, on the one point of how we worship. Whether we still worship just self, or whether we come to church, maybe worshiping a form of worship, doing all the right things, following all the rules, and yet our heart is far from God. Other people look and say, wow, what a person, what a worshiper. But God sees the heart. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. He sees how you came. And now let's look at these two sons and two sacrifices and consider also ourselves. Two sacrifices. Cain and Abel were born with completely, totally depraved hearts. Self-worshippers. Did they continue living that way? Did they continue living for self? Or did they, one of them, both of them, did they come to truly worship God? Who did? We know. And so this history in this chapter moves from what they did according to their occupation of their work, and it comes now to worship. It comes to a time that they have sacrifices. And sacrifices in the Old Testament was a fundamental part of worship, of worshiping God. Not only that they sacrificed, not only what they sacrificed, but how they sacrificed. How was it in their hearts? Let's read verse 3 and 4. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. So they both sacrificed and were created to worship. These boys were also created to worship, but they were fallen, yet called to worship. And God recreates sinners, recreates that they begin to worship, that they begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. How we worship matters. It's not sufficient, congregation, to faithfully come to God's house Sunday morning, Sunday night, and when there's week services. It's not sufficient to only be here. The Lord wants the heart. He wants true worship. So how did these two sons worship? How did they? How they worshiped reveals their hearts. How you worship reveals your heart. It reveals whether you have grace, yes or no. And then we read in verse 4, and in the process of time. And when you study that phrase, it means at the end of days. It really says that on the Sabbath day. So we could say today, on Sunday, these two boys are going to give sacrifices. These two boys, these two men are going to worship God. They worship together. Two fallen creatures worship together. And what was Cain's sacrifice? Well, we can see him going. He gets some grain, he gets some vegetables or other things from the ground that he has received from the Lord. He offers that. And what does Cain sacrifice? We can see him going to the flock, and he looks for the best sheep, the fattest, most best, first choice sheep, and he brings that to sacrifice to God. They both bring what God has blessed them in their work to sacrifice to God. So now the question, is there a difference? Is a difference between these sacrifices? Is there a difference between how they sacrificed? Which one are you? Are you Cain? Are you Abel? Who am I? Is there a difference in their offerings? Some say it's the same. They both offered what they received to God. They both give tithes, they say. explain it, as we are called to tithe, to give what the Lord has given unto us. But in Genesis 4, this is not about tithing. This is about worship. This is about sacrifice, the center core of worship. And some say, but there's no difference whether it's an animal or whether it's some fruit or some meal or some grain, because later the Lord also gave those sacrifices. But we need to remember, very clearly that God only accepted a meal offering, a grain offering, when it was with a bloody sacrifice because of sin. So that's one point. So two sacrifices. Is there a difference? Yes, there is, congregation. There is a great difference of how we worship God, and God sees it. God wants true worship. But what's the difference? There is a difference, because we read in the Word of God that God had respect unto Abel's offering and unto Abel, and he did not have respect unto Cain's offering. So there is a difference. God saw two fallen sinners. He saw their hearts and how they worshipped. So there is a difference. And congregation, we need to know. We need to know the difference. We need to know the truth. Because God demands worship, but he longs for hearts to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because if we are not worshiping God in spirit and truth, it's not accepted. We will not find favor in the sight of God. We will be cast out eternally. And if it is true, by his grace, yes. If it is true, he have will respect unto it, and it will be favor, and it will be acceptable into it. So it's depending how we worship now determines our eternal future, our eternal life, whether we will be eternally worshiping or we will be eternally cursing. And we need the renewing grace to become, to worship him in spirit and in truth. To be acceptable. That's the point. Not for men, not for the consistory, no, for God to see. We read in John 4, verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Why did God accept the offering of Cain, or of Abel, and not of Cain? Why? Why did he accept the one and not the other? What is the acceptable worship offering in the sight of God? Let's first consider just the outward sacrifice. There's a point here, congregation. The outward sacrifice, what they gave to God. Cain gave his, what he received. He gave grains or fruit from the field. And Cain, or Abel, gave a sheep. He gave a bloody sacrifice. He gave, so there's a difference in the sacrifice. Is there a difference? Is there a difference? There is a difference. And there's an absolute vital lesson in true worship here in this point. What's the lesson? God cannot be approached. God cannot be worshipped in truth. He cannot be approached without a bloody sacrifice. That's the point. That's the point. He's holy. He's just. We cannot just approach God as a fallen sinner with whatever we want to bring. We can't. We need something. We need something that's acceptable to God, that he can look upon and that he can receive in favor. But you say, how did these boys know? Did they know? Did Cain really know? How could he have ever known? All those sacrifices come in Leviticus, and they lived before this time. Open your Bible to Genesis 3, verse 21. There we see they knew. God showed them what they needed. And we read in Genesis 3, verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Simply said, with much reverence, God saw Adam and Eve. They clothed themselves, falling. They heard the voice of God, and they hid themselves. They tried to clothe their fallen, sinful state with fig leaves, with things of their own making. And God said, no, Adam and Eve, No, it's insufficient. You cannot stand before me with your fig leaves, with something that you think that you can cover yourself, your nakedness, and your wretchedness before me. He said, no, you need something. The wages of sin is death. I need to see life. I need to see blood. And he killed an animal, a lamb possibly, or other animal, and he made coats. He made a clothing to cover them. So Adam and Eve, fallen, sinful, wretched human beings, could approach God and worship and not die immediately. Adam and Eve, the Lord stripped them of all the fig leaves. What a lesson. We need to know our sin. We need to be born again, and we need to be stripped of all our fig leaves. What do I mean? We need to become absolutely lost, where we have no more self-righteousnesses. Thinking my prayers are good. Thinking my going to church is good. Thinking all these things are good. My prayers, my Bible reading, my this, my that, my experiences, they all have to fall away. Because we're sinful creatures, and we need to stand before a holy and just God, and we can only stand before him in a way that's acceptable to him. And he taught in Genesis 3, verse 21, the only way. Adam and Eve knew. They knew from this, and I'm certain they taught their boys, sons, were fallen. We rebelled against God. We lived in such precious worship joyfully every day. But we rebelled. We're cast out. We're fallen creatures. And we tried to clothe ourselves with our fig leaves. And the Lord stripped us. And he provided a way that we could still have communion. Boys, you cannot just approach to God with anything of yourself. Boys, Cain, Abel, you need a sacrifice. You need a sacrifice. You need a bloody sacrifice. The wages of sin is death. If there's no blood, you will die. My friend, you need to pay your sin from head to toe. I'm sin from head to toe. We need to pay. We'll stand before a holy and just God who will by no means clear the guilty. There's only one way, through blood. You need blood or it will be your blood eternally. You need blood. Adam and Eve, I'm certainly told, they told Cain, Abel, if you're going to go to church, there's only one way to worship. There's only one way. You need a bloody sacrifice, boys. And these two sons, same family, we could say in the same church, same instruction, in the same worship service together, so to speak, but two different boys, two different sons, two completely different sacrifices, two different hearts of worship. Cain came with his own fruits of the ground, thinking that's sufficient. Sufficient. And Abel, he heard. And he brought the best, the choicest, the fat one, to sacrifice before God. But what does God's word say? God's word says something so significant about the sacrifice. Open your Bible to Hebrews 11, verse 4. Because there we also read from God's word some very key things about the true worship. Hebrews 11 verse 4. And we read, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So three things in this text. First, by faith. Abel sacrificed by faith. And some say it was only by faith. That's the only difference. That is a key point, but that's not the only difference. Yes, Abel sacrificed by faith. And if our worship is without true saving faith, without faith, it is all sin, congregation. It's all sin. Even our best works, without true saving faith, even our worship, it's sin. We read that in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. To please him. Do you worship in faith? That's the first thing. Do you worship in faith? And I'll explain what that is a little further. What it is to really worship in faith. But do you have faith? But there's something else in this text. What else? Let's read it again. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. So it's by faith and also by what he sacrificed. It's together, congregation. By faith, according to God's way. Do you hear it? By faith in God's way, not according to man's way. Abel offered by faith, according to God's way, the only way to approach and worship God that God has given and taught in Genesis 3, verse 21. And those go together. We need to worship in faith, but also with knowledge according to what's acceptable to God, not what's acceptable to you and to me and to man, but what's acceptable to God. Faith is built upon knowledge, to know God's way, to know God's acceptable way. And we need to learn that all our ways, all our thoughts are not acceptable. We need to know God's way to worship, by faith on His provision of His dear Son, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And the word of God is the truth. It's facts. It's truth. We need to know. You need to know. I need to know. What is true worship? What is it to worship in spirit and truth? By faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So it implies that Cain knew the only way to approach God. He knew what Adam taught him about sin and salvation. He knew that Abel was a sinner, that Abel would only be cast out and die in the sight of God, cast away forever, if he didn't come in the only way. But he heard of the way, of the way that God said would come in Genesis 3 verse 15. Faith on the promise. Faith in believing who He is. Faith in believing God is holy and just and cannot accept me in any way but that only way. He believed he was an absolute wretched sinner, as we could summarize from the whole Word of God. But his faith was upon the promise. And this sacrifice was a hope in the promise of the coming Savior, that Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So he sacrificed by faith, believing who he was, believing who God is, and believing the only way to approach God that God has given through that sacrifice that pointed to the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. How are you trying to approach God? How are you and I trying to worship? How? Search your heart this morning. How do you worship? Do you worship or do you not? But how do you worship? Do you worship in spirit, in truth, in faith, believing what God says about you, about sin? No, not what you think, not what men think, but what God says in His Word. And do you believe the record that God has given of His Son? That's the only way to approach me. And has it become precious that there is a way? Because God has worked in you. He's renewed you. And you want to be reconciled with God in all other ways. It has become absolutely impossible. But then to know there is a way, congregation. God provided a way. God gave His Son. God gave the precious Savior a sacrifice, a Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Abel, by faith. And then what do we read? The third thing in that text. He was righteous. He was righteous. Cain did not believe. Cain did not believe. He did not believe what his parents taught him of the only way. He didn't believe who he was. He didn't believe who God was. And he didn't therefore need that way. He didn't ask Cain or Abel, can I have one of your sheep? Can I trade you? Can I have a sheep? I need a sheep. Father told us the only way to approach God is by blood. And I have no blood. Abel, can I have one of your sheep? Can I buy? I want to sacrifice. Because I'm a sinner, God is holy. He didn't. He rejected it. He thought what he had was good enough. His works, his fruits. And he thought that would be acceptable. Cain's actions showed his heart. He was a worshiper. He worshipped. We could say he went to church. Very good. But how did he worship? Cain's way. Not in spirit, not in truth. but Abel, by God's grace, was born again. And we see that by how he worshipped, by his sacrifice, by faith, a more excellent sacrifice, God's way. And he was considered righteous. Which one, congregation, represents you? Think about that. Which one represents you? Are you still a Cain? Or are you, by God's grace, Abel? If you're still Cain, it's your guilt. You can't blame anyone else. No, we don't like that. We like to say, Adam fell, I didn't. No, God organized it that way. It's your guilt. But have you become an Abel? Then there's only one thing. It's by God, God's grace, God's glory. He sought me. He taught me. So two sons, two sacrifices, and now two responses. But let us first sing from Psalter 265, stanzas 2 and 3, standing. 265, 2 and 3. The mighty king loves justice well, and equity ordains. He rules his people righteously, and faithfulness maintains. O magnify the Lord our God, let him exalted be, and worship at his footstool bow, the Holy One is he. 265, stanzas 2 and 3. Sinners worshiping God, two sons, two sacrifices, and now two responses. But let's go back a moment. Let's first think of the two responses of Cain and Abel. We may believe that Adam and Eve taught them about sin and salvation. And Cain was full of unbelief. He rejected it. He didn't offer that only sacrifice. It's his guilt. It's our guilt if we are still lost Cains. Cains that worship, maybe, but in their own way, not in spirit and in truth. It's our guilt. It's your guilt, my friend. I hope you become guilty if you are not a true worshiper of spirit and in truth. We sin against all the commandments. We sin against the gospel, and we sin also how we worship God. God, he made you. And he made you to worship him joyfully with your whole being, because he knows that's for his glory and that's your true good and joy. But Cain said no. But Abel, was he better? Was he a better boy? Was he better? Are those children that are reborn again, children of God, are they better? No, it's God's grace. But Abel, by a recipient of God's grace, he worshiped God. He responded in faith, faith, faith in that only way. Who saw their sacrifices, children? We don't know if Adam and Eve did. We don't know. But who saw? Who saw those two sons? Who saw their both their responses? Who saw their hearts as they gave those sacrifices? Who saw them? The Almighty, all-seeing Creator of heaven and earth. Who sees you this morning? Who sees your heart? Who sees how you're worshiping? How you came here? How you're feeling? He knows everything about you and me and how we worship. And how we worship matters, because it's about God, his glory, his honor. Yes, it's important, because God is to be glorified. He is to worship his way, and only one way, through his Son, in spirit and in truth. They responded to the message of sin and salvation. How have you responded so far? We don't like those questions. We don't like house visitation that comes to the key point of our hearts. We like to talk about everything else. We like to talk about the doctrines to defend ourselves. But have you ever been broken? Have you ever become lost? We would rejoice to come to your home and hear, what must I do to be saved? I'm a lost sinner. I'm lost because I sinned against all the commandments. And God has made me to worship. And I don't worship in truth either. Is there a way that I can worship God that is acceptable for my soul? I must stand before him. That'd be a beautiful family house visitation. But now, let's speak about how God responded. Let's end with that. God responded. God saw. Let's read again. Genesis 4, verse 4 and 5. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, and unto Cain and to his offering. He had not respect to responses, to sons, to sacrifices, to different worshipers. And God responded to both. He responded. He saw both of these sacrificing. And he responded, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. So what does respect mean? That means it's acceptable. That means it's a favorable. It wasn't acceptable. It wasn't favorable in God's eyes. How they offered with their heart, how they worshiped matters. It matters. It matters to God. And he sees it, and he will respond how we live, how we worship. But how we worship, what we sacrifice these two boys, is tied to them. Let's read the text again. It's tied together. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. It's tied together. Because how we worship, it's us. It's not Cain and his sacrifice over here. It's not Abel and his sacrifice. No, it's together. They're tied together. You see it? God sees it. How you worship. It's you. It's your being. Cain was full of unbelief. Trusted in his own works. And God did not accept it. No favor. Unacceptable. What a lesson for you and me this morning. What a lesson. And I hope God shoots out arrows that you become guilty how you worship. Are you still like Cain, trying to bring something of your own self? Or don't you even care? That's even worse. But it's not sufficient. It's polluted. Has it become all polluted? If your fig leaves need to be ripped off, do they still need to be ripped off? Trying to cover yourself by how you pray, how you come to church, how you read your Bible, all good things. Cain thought he could come with his own fruits, with his own works. What a lesson. Unacceptable. I hope you hear it. But now think of how God responded to Abel. He had respect unto Abel and to his offering. God saw Abel. He sees Abel's this morning. He sees Cain's and he sees Abel's. It was acceptable. What a comfort for poor, wretched sinners who have nothing. Nothing. It's all polluted. They can't find anything. But they hear of that only way. And they come to worship God in God's provided way. God's provided way. They're like that one who wrote that poem, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." That's an Abel. Nothing. But he heard of a way. And he hid in that sacrifice. God sees poor, wretched beggars have nothing. It's all polluted, all too short. But they heard of a way. They heard who they are, lost. But they heard of the way. And they're hiding under the wings in that sacrifice of the only way that God can be approached and that is favorable and that is acceptable. And that is in faith through his dear Son, Jesus Christ. What a comfort. Why is it a comfort? Has it become a comfort? Because we have nothing. I have nothing. I need to stand before a holy God. And all you learn, more sin, and it continues. Sin, more abominations. You dig deeper, more abominations. Filthier, more polluted, more wicked. How? How can I stand before God? I must. I'm going to. How? Through God's way. And those poor beggars that have no hope in self, but are looking outside of self, trusting in the way that God has provided, they shall be accepted. Because their sacrifice is so good? No. It's all polluted. It's all polluted. But because their faith is not anything in self, but their faith comes to the point, it's in another. In another, in that sacrifice that God has given, the Lamb of God. Because he died, he gave his blood, and God is satisfied in his Son. And they, hiding under his Son, needed to be covered, need to be washed. No more fig leaves. Clothe me with thy righteousness, Lord. Wash me with thy blood. And those poor beggars that hide under him, God sees them. And he has respect unto them and to their worship, because they're hiding in his Son, in the Beloved, accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved. God sees Abel's. He sees Paul's. What did Paul write in Philippians 3 verse 3? "For we are the circumcision," meaning we are those who are born again, "which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." These are the Abels. That's where they're taught. That's what they're led to. No confidence in the flesh. Circumcised, mean born again. And worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. May I ask you, have you ever had joy in Jesus Christ? Through the word, by the gospel, it came with power. It's not just a name no more. It's a person. He's needed. He's necessary. He's suitable. And has he become precious? Have you had joy? Joy that you never had in anything. Not joy that you can ever find in yourself. But joy in him. Are you a true worshiper? Are you able, by God's grace, hiding under him? And those that hide under him by God's grace, Like that poem we read, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. God sees you, poor sinner. And you say, I don't know if I'm even saved. Keep hiding. Keep hiding. Wait. Wait upon God. He will speak at his time. He will comfort his time. But stay. Stay. Beg. Crawl. Hide. To be covered. Cover me, Lord. Hide me. Hide me in thy righteousness. Cover me. Wash me with thy blood. And at his time, he will come and he will comfort your soul. But wait. Wait upon him. And when he returns, then he will bring all those true worshipers to enter into eternal, uninterrupted, perfect, joyful, heavenly worship. That's a blessed people. How we worship matters. It matters to God. It's for his honor. And it matters for your eternal soul. How you worship now will determine your eternal welfare. And do you say, but I'm a Cain? Is that what you have to say? I need to speak about one more text in this verse, or in this chapter. Are you a Cain? Look in your Bible, in verse 6 and 7. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. What is the Lord saying to Cain? He's saying, Cain, there is a sacrifice. Cain, there is a way. Cain, there is a way to be accepted. There is a sacrifice that is acceptable. He's saying, I say to my own words, Cain, repent. Repent. Are you a Cain? Repent. There is a sacrifice, congregation. None of us need to go home saying there's absolutely no hope because there is a sacrifice. No hope in us, but there's hope in God's. There's hope in God, what he has provided through his Son. May the Lord bless it by the power of the Holy Spirit that Cain's may become guilty, convicted, but also that hope may be born by what God says. Seek me only through my Son. There's life in my Son. What a wonder that he spoke to Cain, who became so angry. And he was so angry, later he even killed his brother. But God first spoke to him, Cain, there is a sacrifice. Seek it in the only way, and you will also be acceptable in my sight. And so he says to sinners, Cain's, seek it in my Son. There is a way, and beg him, Lord, make me like Abel. Take my heart. It's so hard. Break it. May I not stay a Cain, but that I may repent, that I may confess, and that I may learn of the only sacrifice that I need in the sight of God. Congregation, how do you worship? It matters. And how we worship determines, how we worship now determines our eternal future. And there is a blessed future because in another, and they will sing that to eternity, what we read in Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That will be their song. Who hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O wilt thou convict and convince sinners of their sins, of how they worship and make true worshipers by thy irresistible power of thy Holy Spirit. May sinners become guilty sinners. May guilty be sinners led to that only sacrifice, that only way. And may they receive that only comfort that is only in thee. And oh, may poor needy sinners be given faith to look, to hide under the shelter of him, of that beloved one, that they may know and believe and feel and experience by thy Spirit, witnessing with their spirit that they're accepted by thee in him. Lord, give that only comfort in life and death by thy word and by thy Spirit. We acknowledge thee for this morning, for thy help, and for thy precious word Bless it, Lord, for the glory of thy name and for our eternal comfort. Help the elders in teaching catechism. Bless those simple means to the hearts of children. And Lord, bring us again tonight that is in thy favor, and may we ask thee to remember Abby and her family. Have mercy, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will sing now from Psalter 76, stanzas 1 and 4. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor and beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord. 76, stanzas 1 and 4. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.